Are you looking for the perfect RV and want to avoid costly mistakes? In this episode, I'll break down what to look for when buying an RV and how to spot potential issues before you make a big investment. Plus, we'll share an RV pro tip that can save you from future headaches. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Restless Nomads, the ultimate RV show for modern-day rubber tramps and weekend warriors alike. Whether you're chasing sunsets full-time, savoring seasonal escapes, or just hitting the road for a quick weekend getaway, this is your go-to show for tips, tricks, and tales from the road. Join us as we dive into everything RV, choosing the right rig, surviving life on wheels, and navigating the highs and lows of life on the move. From towables to motorhomes, budget hacks to campsite secrets, we've got you covered. So buckle up, nomads, and let's hit the road to adventure, 1 mile at a time. Welcome back to the Restless Nomads. Mike Wood here with you. We're talking everything RVs. Check out our travel vlog at therestlessnomads.com. In RVing news, it's kind of pertinent to what we're talking about today. 2025 Keystone Cougars have finally abandoned the dreaded AccuSlide in favor of the ExactSlide system. The notorious AccuSlide has damaged countless RVs, totaled many of them, and caused insurance companies to have to pay out on them. So, let's dive right into this. Essential RV shopping tips. Now, when you go to the lot, the first thing that you're going to look at probably is the exterior appearance of the RV. And you're also going to walk inside and get the oohs and ahs from the floor plan and all the pretty paint they put on stuff. But I'm telling you that you need to be looking a little deeper than that, and you need to have some knowledge, because RVs in general are not built well. That's just the nature of the beast. So many manufacturers, especially on the base model stuff like Heartland and Dutchman and Keystone and even the old Fleetwood, all of those, even Winnebago, have problems with their manufacturing. Grand Design, Airstream, Alliance, those are the higher end stuff, but they will still have problems that you need to be aware of. So the first thing I want you to do when you approach an RV on the lot, and the salesman is going to kind of try to distract you in this process, you just have to kind of ignore him and focus on what you're there to do. On travel trailers, check the manufacturer sticker, and that's usually located on the driver's side front exterior. So in the very front on the driver's side. Motorhomes, it's often found inside a cabinet, typically on the back side of a cabinet, somewhere in the kitchen, somewhere prominent on the back side of a cabinet, usually in the kitchen. Now the sticker provides some critical information for you. It's going to tell you what year it was manufactured. So many times they're going to claim it's a 2025 when it was manufactured in November of 2024, just like cars. It's going to give you the model number, which can be useful for your research. I would take a picture of this label, and that way you can look things up when you go home. I wouldn't buy it right there sight unseen, unless, or not sight unseen, but on the spot, unless you know exactly what you're looking at and you have some experience with this. You also want to take note of the dry weight and the gross vehicle weight rating. The difference between these two numbers are going to give you your payload capacity, or cargo carrying capacity, as it's sometimes referred to. It'll tell you your tire sizes and also your recommended pressures as well, which is going to come in handy if you do end up buying it. Pay close attention to the fine print regarding payload capacity, because it's going to specify whether it means propane tanks full, empty water tanks, or full freshwater tank, empty, other empty tanks, or all other tanks empty, rather. So you want to be kind of aware. Water weighs a lot, and most of the time they give you this dry weight, as it's known, or unloaded vehicle weight, in numbers without anything on board. So that means no clothes, no fun stuff in the RV, No water in the tanks, nothing like that. So if you have a small payload capacity, the difference between the GVWR, gross vehicle weight rating, and the dry weight, if that number is small, you're going to diminish how much you can take with you very quickly if you roll around with a tank full of water. I mean, significantly. So if you've got a payload carrying capacity of, let's say, 1,000 pounds, and then you put 492 pounds of water in it, then you can only carry 608 pounds worth of stuff. Now, that seems like a lot, but if you were to weigh everything that you're planning on putting in that RV, and I mean everything, dishes, clothing, all the fun stuff, it likely is going to exceed 600 pounds. And that can become a problem. Now, this payload carrying capacity can also give you some insight on the quality of the frame that they built this thing on. Most frames are Lippert frames. They're all pretty standard these days. But be wary of really low numbers, because that may mean that they put this big honking body of an RV that weighs too much on this itty-bitty Lippert frame, i.e. the Airstream Bambi has a cargo carrying capacity of about 246 pounds. Not much. So they have maxed that little frame out for what they put on that frame. Not to say that it's a bad frame, it's just way, way loaded down. So be leery of that. If you see large payload numbers, large cargo carrying capacity numbers, they've given you plenty of wiggle room, and the body of that RV doesn't weigh too much for that frame. Now, while we're talking about frames, let's talk about outriggers. And those are those L-shaped metal pieces. They look like a triangle, and they're welded between the frame of the trailer and the floor of the RV, or the frame of the chassis for a motorhome and the floor of that motorhome. And you can, they go all the way around. So you can look, especially on the sides, you'll see these outriggers, and they are triangular shaped metal pieces that are welded in place, meant to give the floor and the walls some support. Now, when you're looking at these outriggers, you want to see Z-shaped outriggers. Now, this is like the premium. If you see Z-shaped outriggers, then that is really, really good. Not all of them that aren't Z-shaped are terrible. Some of the just straight triangular outriggers are okay too. If you see a little square metal piece that looks like a spacer, you want to run away from that. Small hollow metal squares that are put in between the outrigger and the floor of the trailer, those will eventually roll and can fail. Not saying it happens 100% of the time, but it is a risk. Those spacers are kind of a poor craftsmanship item. Now, when you're down there looking at the outriggers, make sure that you're looking under heavy slide outs especially. You want to look at all of them just to make sure that there's no twisting or buckling or anything like that. But the most susceptible place for this is going to be under heavy slide outs, particularly. So slide outs with refrigerators and ovens and things like that in them. Or if you have a, if you're buying a used RV and you have a slide out with a dinette or a couch in it, if there was a teenager that was jumping up and down on that couch or on that dinette, he could have damaged that outrigger. And when the outrigger buckles or twists, that means the entire structure of the RV is going to be compromised. Next, we'll dig into slide-out systems. Now, the top choice for slide-out systems in terms of reliability is the through-frame electrically actuated slide system. And you can tell this, there's no rails or anything like that on the side of the slide-out. If you look underneath, there will be two bars, one square and the other one is circular, and usually there's this gold circular piece on one of those bars, and you'll see wiring going to it. And if you look closely, you can see the gear mechanisms and the teeth that actuate this slide out. This is the most reliable kind of slide out that you can get. Hydraulically actuated through-frame slides are the second most reliable, and those are good. The only thing with that, they're similar to the electrically actuated slide system as far as you won't have issues with them jamming up as much with some of the other systems. But if you do lose, the only disadvantage to that is if you lose hydraulic pressure or you have hydraulic fluid leaking, it can damage some things, especially if that's installed on the upper end near the roof. That hydraulic fluid will drip onto the roof, causing damage, and then eventually a damaged roof is going to cause water leaks. If the hydraulic assembly is located below the slide, that's better, and you should be in pretty good shape, except for if you develop a hydraulic leak, then what you'll notice is that your slide will not want to retract fully, and it may even creep out as you're going down the road. But still, a fairly reliable system. The third system, which doesn't really have any problems and is a little more rare, is the slim rail slide mechanism. Those are pretty good, and those are just one or two little slim rails on the side of your slide outs, and those have had a pretty good track record. High maintenance slide systems. Anything with cables is going to require periodic tightening. Now, there are two types of cable slide systems. One is called the BAL AccuSlide, and it is mounted with corner brackets on the walls on the inside, and that can cause major problems. That's what Keystone Cougar has gone away from this year in the 2025 production year. They have moved away from the BAL AccuSlide, probably because they ran out of them. They quit making them because they were damaging so many RVs to the point of a total loss. So if you see cables, you might want to just ignore that RV altogether. If you see cables and you really like the RV, then you need to check to see whether or not that RV is equipped with an AccuSlide system. If it is, don't even bother. If it's equipped with an AccuExact slide system, which is a cable system, but it is basically the AccuSlide with those problems fixed and decently reliable enough, although you will still need to put tension on those pulleys every once in a while. You're going to have to maintenance that and retension it, and you have the risk of cables failing over time. But the Exact Slide, AccuExact, way better than the BAL AccuSlide. Avoid AccuSlide if at all possible. The BAL AccuSlide usually will have a sticker on the slide inside. You'll notice the corner mounting brackets that the pulleys are mounted to on the inside, either on the top corners or on the bottom corners, and they're mounted directly to the wall. And there's a lot of pressure that gets put on that point, which in turn can damage the RV by ripping the wall out, essentially. Exact slides you can identify if you look at the slide mechanism on the outside. Usually it has a blue and white sticker, and that will tell you, it'll actually say AccuExact slide on it. So that'll tell you that you're in good shape there. Now, another major problem with RV manufacturers and their lazy, lackadaisical craftsmanship is that many of them are plumbing these RVs with both PEX and FLEX. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, and that's pretty typical. But what the problem is when you join FLEX to PEX plumbing improperly. So a lot of manufacturers have been putting pinch clamps on FLEX line on a PEX connector, and that is that the PEX connector is slightly less in circumference than is designed for the flex line. And so what happens over time is that flex line begins to stretch a little bit, and it inevitably will leak. This may or may not be a deal breaker for you when you, and you can Google this. Also, check out RV Rigger on YouTube. This is a guy that has taught me a lot. He's got the Undercover RV Shopper course, and he has reviews on all these RVs, and he talks about all these issues. But the this may or may not be a deal breaker. You know, if you look under the sink and you see a flex line connected to a PEX connector with a pinch clamp, okay. But if you can get eyes on the water heater, that's the most common point of failure, and also the water pump. And generally those things, the water heater and water pump, are going to be harder to access the back of the water heater to replumb that. Now, if you're not handy or you don't know what you're doing and you're looking at RVs for the first time and you see this, just avoid the thing altogether. It's not even worth your trouble. Move on to the next one that might have decent plumbing, but it's really important to check it because those will inevitably fail, and that's going to cause water to squirt all over your RV. RVs hate water. They're full of MDF and particle board, and that will swell and it will just ruin your RV. So, places to check for this flex line connected to PEX connectors by use of pinch clamp. If you ever see a pinch clamp on a flex tube, you know it's wrong. Under the kitchen and bathroom sinks, behind the toilet, and near the water heater and the water pump. And depending on how accessible those things are and how good you are at replacing plumbing fittings should be a determining factor on whether you think it's worth buying the RV. But just know, if you buy one like that, you should, to prevent damage, take it straight home and replace the plumbing in it, which you shouldn't have to do on a new RV, right? All right, we're going to go to a break, and we'll come back with more of these things, more tips for you brand new RV shoppers and seasoned RV shoppers alike.